37 minutes after the hour. Good morning, everyone. Bill Arnold here. I want to start with a little passage from, let's see, it'd be Proverbs 22, and this is kind of a shout out to my next guest's parents, which is direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it, because my guest has not left it. Well, he maybe did for a while, but he's back, and he is my guest on the studio line, David Wheaton. David, hi, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Yeah, of course, you know, last week, without you, I got desperate and called John, your brother, but he was great.
That's what I heard, and I'm sure he did a fantastic job.
And rumor has it you attended the Shepherds Conference in L.A. last week. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. I actually went with my other brother, who you know as well, Mark.
And I've met him before, yeah.
Yes. And we have been going out to that conference for many years. That conference has been around for about, I'm guessing, about 40 years. And it's held at Grace Community Church in Los Angeles, where John MacArthur has been pastor for 47 years. Mm-hmm. It's an annual pastors conference, and so you might be asking, well, why'd you go? You're not a pastor. Well, I'm not, but it's basically open to pastors and church leadership and just laymen. And it's this year there was 4,500 men that
wow.
came all over the world, 67 countries around the world, with over 100,000 people watching online. And I think part of the reason is that they have the people who come to preach are well known in the evangelical world all over the world, like MacArthur and Albert Moeller of Southern Baptist mm-hmm. Theological Seminary, and Mark Dever and Ligon Duncan and Steve Lawson and the great biographer Ian Murray from Scotland. He's in his 80s now. He worked with Martin Lloyd Jones in England.
That's the lineup.
Work with him, and Paul Washer, and who they call the Spurgeon of Africa, Conrad mm-hmm. Mbewe. So it's a pretty amazing place to be, and a lot of expository preaching, verse by verse.
Ooh.
Great music. The Gettys were there. Great fellowship.
Love that.
Yeah, so you're going to have to come next year, Bill.
I will. Thanks for the invitation, and thanks for offering to pay. I'm thrilled.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would be glad to do that.
Let's talk about some of the overview of some of the sessions there, because all the people you just described are all gigantic hitters in the faith, and boy, I bet they brought home the goods. What were one of the sessions that really impacted you the most, and why?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of sessions, so the conference goes over 4 days. So I think there were something like 17 keynote sessions over those 4 days, in addition to lots of seminar sessions in between. And the main thrust is really to help pastors and church leadership take this back to their churches and impact their people. So various aspects about faith and doctrine and church life. Usually it starts at about 10 a.m. in the morning and goes to about 7 o'clock at night. And the messages are not like sermonettes for Christianettes, like the 20
right.
minutes.
Right.
I mean, literally, they're all like 60 to 70 minutes long.
Oh, I love that.
And so, you get 4 or 5 of those a day. And if you're actively listening and taking notes, you're really drained by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Theme was, we preach Christ, from 2 Corinthians 4, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. That was the thrust of the early church.
And that's 2 Corinthians what, David?
2 Corinthians 4, verse 5.
Verse 5, okay.
And so Moeller gave a message on Christ and the responsibility of the church to the culture. Steve Lawson talked about Christ as the good shepherd from John 10. Paul Washer talked about being counted worthy to suffer like the early church in Acts 5. Everything was about the person of Christ. And I think actually, interestingly enough, one of the messages that it's hard to pick one that was my favorite, but I'd say one that impacted me was the last one I heard. I guess that's probably pretty typical. I always remember the last one. But it was MacArthur's message actually in the Sunday service. It's kind of during the conference, but a lot of the people stay for the Sunday service afterwards. The conference goes Tuesday through Friday, but we stayed through Sunday and heard his message. And he talked about how the church grew in the early church grew from the book of Acts. And I thought that was just really powerful.
Oh, you've got me very interested now. Can you give listeners some information about the reasons that this early church in Acts grew so much?
Yeah. Well, remember that Christ said, I will build my church. And MacArthur started out by saying, he is the only one who builds the church. It's not built through human ingenuity. And, basically evangelicals have a flawed view that that growing attendance or building bigger buildings or going multi-site or a hop-in worship service with dimmed lights and strobes and, you know, fog coming out of the stage, that's what's going to lead to church growth.
Mm-hmm.
And also making sure you wear skinny jeans and a t-shirt at church. Those are the things that are critical to attracting people. And, mm-hmm. and MacArthur said that's actually the opposite of what was about the explosive growth in the early church. And Acts was the model of that. It didn't grow by this tweaking methodology. It grew by preaching the full counsel of God, the gospel, and it permeated cross-culturally all across that region. I mean, if you look at the passage from Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ was crucified now, and there's lots of people from all over the place, all the different nations in Jerusalem. And Peter gives this very strong message to them. And they say, well, what should we do? Basically, what do we do to be saved? And Peter says, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off and saved. Be saved from this perverse generation. So, and then it led to literally this. Quickly going through this, thousands of people being saved at that point. They were added to them 5,000 souls, 3,000 souls. You see this repeated all through Acts. You're thinking, this is a church growth strategy that any church today would be like, how do you add 5,000 people to a church just like that? Well, it was the preaching of the word and not any other kind of methodology
mm-hmm.
that did all this. But he gave a few points about this too, which I could go over if you'd like me to.
I do want you to go over them. I find this very, very interesting.
Okay. Well, the church growth is kind of a hot topic. You know, people are always trying to think, how can we bring more people in and so forth. So, I'll just give three. I'll just give the first three points, and listeners, if we want to hear the whole message, can go online to Grace Community Church and look it up. But he said the first point he said was, how did it grow? It was not by techniques, but it was by spiritual realities. And the first thing was a transcendent message, and a message that transcends all cultural trends. In other words, the gospel
mm-hmm.
that transcends all cultures, all nations, all economics. He mentioned that 67 nations from people from all over the world, from Middle East and from the Far East, everywhere, gathered around the gospel. I mean, you know, most of the time the message would start up by saying, you know, open your Bible to, and then, you know, the pastor actually preached from a pulpit. He actually wore a suit and a tie. The lights were, I mean, so it was just purely the proclamation of the word, and there were 4,500 men just riveted mm-hmm. on the preaching of the word. He said that, you know, he asked pastors, can my message go to any zip code? Will it apply anywhere? Do I have to dress a certain way or play a certain music in an attempt to attract people? He said that people who contextualize the methodology of church or constantly tweaking how church is presented are living under the illusion that they are the ones building the church, when in fact it is Christ builds his own church, as he said, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that was point one.
Yeah, hang on a second, David. I want to interject something here, and then I want to go to break, and when we come back, sure. We'll do points two and three. But for starters, I'm saying preach it, little brother. And then I want to say Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, right. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So everything you're saying is just rocking my world right now. So we'll take a break when we come back. More with David Wheaton, 45 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being here today. I'm with David Wheaton this morning, and he is kind of downloading his experience at the Shepherds Conference out in L.A. last week, where there was 4,500 men learning about growing the church. He went out with his brother Mark, and he said the keynotes were about 70 minutes, and I was just trying to figure out how Mark got through 70 minutes without at least two meals.
Yeah, he ate a lot last week. He has one of the larger appetites of anyone I've ever met.
I know. He's like a garbage can. Anyway, let's go back to the three things that you were sharing. The first one was how we need to give a spiritual reality, and we need to preach the gospel, something that transcends all cultural trends.
Right, exactly. So how did the church grow? It wasn't by techniques, but spiritual realities. And the first one was it had a transcendent message, which was the proclamation of the gospel. And the second thing he mentioned was that how did it grow? It had a regenerate congregation. In other words, the congregation was believers.
Mm-hmm.
He said that attracting unbelievers to a building is not a church, it's an event. In other words, I think this is one of the fundamental misunderstandings of evangelicals is that the church is to be geared to how do we attract outsiders? How do we attract the world to come in? You often hear churches will do surveys in their community. You know, what would you like to see in a church? What kind of music? What kind of whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly the totally flawed perspective. The church is supposed to be for believers. Now, if an unbeliever wants to come in from the outside, that's great and that's fine. But the church should not be geared toward the unbeliever. Acts 2:42 says this is the early church. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Four things here: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread or communion, and prayer. Those are the four pillars of what a church should do.
Mm-hmm.
And when a church gets away from that, starts gearing it towards unbelievers, that's not a correct theology or doctrine of Christ's body. Christ's body, what is that? The body of believers, the church. So he said in point three, this will be the last one I'll give you, is that how does a church grow? How did the early church grow? Through a faithful perseverance. In other words, when the church is persecuted, it perseveres and grows. You saw that in Acts. They were persecuted, put in jail. They were beaten and so forth. But the church continued to grow, not only in Israel, but all over the southern European Asia area over time. You know, he said that the apostles had favor of people that you'd see in the one passage where they have favor of people when they're preaching the gospel. They had favor of the people because they were doing great signs. But when they started preaching the gospel, there was a violent reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it's absurd that unbelievers will come into a church and feel comfortable where there's the proclamation of the gospel about sin, repentance, and coming judgment unless you repent and believe in Christ. And so those are three of the points. Listeners, if they want to hear more about the Shepherd's Conference, and all the messages are free and downloadable on shepherdsconference.org.
Wow. So, David, one of the points you just made, which sort of stuck with me, is attracting people to a building does not make church.
Right.
And
that's an event, not a church.
That's an event. Yeah, that was the word, is an event. So I don't want this to sound self-righteous or arrogant, but we talk about true believers. These are people that understand the Word of God, and they live it out in their lives, and they're uncompromising with it, and it's a very different sort of mentality than the people that might wander into a building on Sunday, which is an event, and say, I went to church today.
Yeah, well, when you say a regenerate person, that means that person, like as Christ said in John 3, has been born again or born from above. They've been regenerated. They're a true believer. And what that means is if you're a true believer, that means you've actually put your faith, your trust in who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God, and what he came to earth to do on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And you're putting your faith and trust in him, and you've been regenerated or born again. That's who the church is for. Now, when you use human tactics or techniques rather than preaching this gospel or the full counsel of Scripture, leaving out passages of Scripture, just preaching the ones that people want to hear about or kind of topics on felt needs of people about marriage and family, and those are fine things. But when you proclaim the full counsel of God, that feeds believers, which is the point of the church. Now, if unbelievers, again, want to come, it's a good thing. They can be convicted. They can be saved through that. But you don't want to get that flipped. I've heard someone say, what you win them with, you'll win them too.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if the church focuses on making your music really trendy to attract millennials, or then they're going to come for the music.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not going to save them or grow believers who are already there. The people are saved and grow through the proclamation of the gospel. I mean, it was kind of interesting at Shepherd's Conference, Bill. People, 4,500 men, actually sang at the top of their lungs with all their hearts with something called, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's called a hymn book. Mm-hmm. And things weren't projected on screens, and, you know, with like moving scenery in the background, mountains flipping around, and the lights weren't strobing all over the place, and fog wasn't coming off the stage. You know, as I mentioned, the preachers just wore, they didn't wear skinny jeans. They just mm-hmm. wore suits. And it was people of all ages were there from all over the world. And no one was, you know, leaving, walking out of the church saying, this is boring. You know, so I think it just, it proves the point that true believers are going to want the true proclamation of the gospel.
And I'm thinking there's 4,500 men there singing and only 17 were in tune, which.
Yes, you're probably right.
Yeah, must have been
many voices. You can't even tell.
Yeah, the Monster Tones album could have been cut that day, I'm sure. Yeah. All right, David, I want to ask you about some of this conference. Were there some hot potatoes issues discussed at this conference?
Well, I think there were. I mean, anytime you talk about there's so many exclusivities within following Christ that we can't get away from. Mm-hmm. You know, Christ said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." This is an incredibly exclusive statement. And Al Mohler talked about some of these exclusivities that the world just our pluralistic postmodern world just can't accept and just violently reacts to. That's one of them. There's salvation and no one else. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Acts 4:12. You know, obviously the issue of this wasn't a focus of the conference, but the issue of sexuality mm-hmm. and gender. It was discussed briefly by Al Mohler and say that's why the culture reacts so violently against believers. But it goes back to what it says in Romans, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. No matter how much the culture or society changes on these issues, and they're the ones changing, not biblical Christianity. The Bible hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said we need to live and perhaps even be persecuted and perhaps even die by that, because that's been the pattern of believers before us who have come before us.
Mm-hmm. And we certainly can't expect non-Christians in this world to act like Christians. And then we also should make sure Christians start acting like Christians in this world. There's a lot to do in this world. So we have to make sure we're true to our faith and we stand up strong for what the gospel teaches.
Amen.
Amen. Preach it. Yeah, now I'm preaching it, huh, brother?
You are.
All right, brother. Thanks for being with us today. I always love talking to you, and my best to your family. And I will talk to you again, hopefully, next week.
Well, sounds good, Bill. Thank you.
You bet, David. See ya. It is 56 minutes after the hour. We'll take a little break and be right back. Thanks for listening.